From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
What do you mean, Flash Golden approaching?
It's Kooky Talk time. What? I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, it's Wednesday evening, September 9th, 2009.
And this is show 056, although technically it's show 056.
Point two, whatever. Yeah, I kind of screwed the pooch on the recording there.
Because you're a dummy dumbhead.
I am sometimes. Sometimes I behave like a dummy dumbhead.
That's okay. Luckily, we're only about 3 minutes in. But usually, those of you new to the podcast, this is a much more finely tuned machine than this. And as we were saying in the previous version of the recording, we may have a great number of listeners new to the podcast, thanks to our recent appearance at PAX.
Which will be the lion's share discussion tonight. There's so much to talk about that. But for the uninitiated, we have just a couple of things that we usually do that might confuse you. Maybe you'll pick up on it. We don't really plan this podcast very much, and we don't have a set format, and we don't do any editing except for when some of us forget to properly record and
right.
Hit the shiny red button.
So it's a triple whammy.
But there is a thing we do right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is a call out how many members we have in our brigade of minions. So often Paul might ask, for example,
hey, Storm, how many minions do we have in the brigade of minions?
Well, Paul, we have 222 registered minions in the Paul and Storm brigade of minions. And you can find out more about how to become a minion at paulandstorm.com. You may already have the t-shirt that says minion, and that does get you recognition from us.
But it does not actually enter you into the brigade.
That's right. And it's really easy to do, and it's actually, most people find it fun and painless, mostly painless.
Mostly painless.
And a way to show off, and everybody likes that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the only thing that we absolutely have done, I think,
yeah,
ever since we formed the brigade. Sometimes we do something called Poochie Corner, which refers to something we discussed in the very first podcast. It's a shorthand for us discussing people discussing us. But because of PAX, there's so much of that. Like, it was such an awesome, triumphant, and I will even say seminal.
Yes.
Seminal bit of business.
Yes.
And pleasure that it's all Poochie Corner. Today.
Sure.
Before we get into
the PAX thing,
yep.
We definitely should mention before we forget, those of you out there who may not know, we are putting together a series of shows called Wootstock.
Yeah.
Which is a series of geek-themed shows. We describe it as 3 hours of geeks and music featuring ourselves, Will Wheaton, blogger, child actor, gamer, and also Adam Savage, co-host of TV's Mythbusters, along with a bunch of special guests who we are still sorting out and who will be announced. We had shows scheduled on in San Francisco and Los Angeles. We are proud to announce that the first San Francisco show is nearly sold out, so we have added a second show at the Swedish American Hall in San Francisco. That will be on Tuesday, October 20th. There are still a few tickets left for the October 19th show there. Again, you can go to paulandstorm.com to find out all the information about that. Tell your friends. And I will also say, we have seen and heard the cries of you out there saying, why can't you do this on anywhere other than the West Coast? And why don't you love us in the Midwest or in the East or what have you? The fact of the matter is, the better these shows do, the higher the likelihood that we will take them out to other markets across America. So it is in your interest, even if you don't live in San Francisco and Los Angeles, to make sure that these all sell like the proverbial gangbusters. So we've not forgotten about you, our non-West Coast fans and geeks.
And even if you can't make it, and I expect most of you can't, do continue to tell us where you want Wootstock to appear, because it matters. We need to set up an eventful.
Yeah, we keep saying that. I think that's one of this week's tasks, is to set up an eventful thing so you can actually demand where Wootstock can go. So
you'll be able to
in the next couple of days.
Probably by the time you hear this, we'll have that eventful tag up on the Wootstock page.
Yeah.
We can't tell you who they are yet, but we are closing in on some of the additional guests, and many of you are going to be super excited about who some of these folks are.
Yep.
Short films are in the works,
mm-hmm.
and some collaborations, some cross-pollination. You know that Paul and I are super excited, and we are. As excited as we are, I think Will is even more excited, if that's possible.
Yep. He's an excitable boy.
Yep. And then Adam, possibly on par, if not more than that.
Yep.
It is just going to be a stupid, sloppy, puppy slobberfest of awesome
That's the
geekness.
Plan anyway, certainly.
And that's the only thing that could really prevent this from becoming a much more frequently done thing, is if it ends up just sucking. But I
way to upsell, Storm.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, is I'm generally conservative in terms of predicting things and being all happy that way about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the chance of this sucking is about the chance of what nothing is.
Right. Okay. I gotcha. The chance of what nothing is the first contender for the title of the podcast, by the way.
And, you know, I do believe that.
Yeah.
One more announcement that
Absolutely.
We have, that I believe we may have mentioned in previous podcasts, but it is now officially released.
Well, I think we teased it. We weren't really allowed to say anything about it
until you're right.
the weekend of PAX. So this is another one. You know how we kept teasing the cool stuff's happening? This is one of those cool stuffs.
So the cool shoe is dropping. Many of you probably already know, but with PAX, the fine folks at Harmonix, the rock band people, put together a PAX pack of songs from performers from the concerts on the weekend. And among them, yes, indeed, your heroes, Paul and Storm, our song Opening Band is included in that pack and can also be purchased as individual download right now. Can have it on your gaming platform of your choice, as long as that choice is an Xbox, PlayStation, or Wii.
Nope, not the Wii. It's only on the PlayStation and the Xbox, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
I could be wrong about that, but my understanding is it may not be available on the Wii yet.
So. Okay, we may not have the Rock Band Network. At any rate, most of you probably have one of the other two, if not both, consoles. So, very excited about that. Now, Paul, you have already played it.
I have. We downloaded it today. I played it with my family. It's fun and enjoyable. It's hard. They programmed it pretty difficultly, which I'm glad of, because I don't want people associating us with easy.
Yeah.
And they also, to their credit, basically, what we did was we sent them the original masters, and they, you know, plunk around on it to put all the notes for the different levels of difficulty in, and they maintained the full 33-second or however long it is ending note of that song,
which
I'm
by
sure
the way
pissed
is
off
real.
Many people the first time they sang it. They missed out on their 100% because they didn't take a big enough breath before that last note.
Which, and some people have speculated if it was enhanced or any which way. No, that's how it was recorded.
I mean, of course, we took, we paused before it, and they stopped tape, and we took deep cleansing breaths, and then they hit record, and then we sang that last note. But nonetheless, it was not like, comped together from different versions. It was all in one breath from both of us twice over, because I believe those are double tracks.
That's right.
So there.
That's right.
So there's that.
Yeah. And that's really all of the kind of business caretaking, which was more fun than business caretaking, I think.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Now, so from here on out, normally we really do like to sort of do short topic things,
mm-hmm.
but this past weekend, we sort of foreshadowed that we were looking forward to PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, and thought it would be awesome. But I have to say, there are moments when you just know that you have been part of an experience that, is going to, if not completely change what you do, change your trajectory in some way.
Mm-hmm.
That direction being up.
It was sort of like glancing against an asteroid.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't destroy you. It just changes with the way things are run along.
And stuff explodes because it's cool and exciting.
Yeah, like good explosions.
Right, the good ones that don't hurt you or any other people, but
right.
make
like
a
the
big
explosions
mess.
In an episode of the animated G.I. Joe.
Right, or like in the A-Team when it's all going nuts.
Exactly.
PAX was the A-Team and G.I. Joe put together, take all those explosions, but it didn't start out that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me also preface by saying, those of you who are familiar with the webcast pod thingy we do are familiar with the fact that often it ends up being sort of ruminations on fame, and especially our own fame and our experience with it. Others might describe it as crawling up our own asses.
Yeah,
I tend to be more guilty of it than you do, but we're pretty much going to have to do it here because it's a significant enough event in our lives that we have to sort of
break it down
and deal with it.
I'll pledge this. Like, we certainly are going to go into some detail, but not without some reflection and observation, you know.
Yeah. I'm leaning back in my chair, and I just lost the balance on my microphone here, so I'm leaning back up in my chair. Belay that order.
So I think a good place to start is to just sort of describe Penny Arcade Expo and the vibe. And in case you don't know about what it is, it's Penny Arcade, the online website and web comic, which has become a hub for gamers and gaming culture. Is it 5 or 6 years running?
They started it back in 2004.
That they've had this expo whose purpose is to be a convention for gamers, not just a trade show for exhibitors to show new games, though they do that,
right?
But a place where gamers can meet face to face and computer to computer and network to network under one roof,
yep,
and just share their enthusiasm for gaming and participate in it, and to do things that are related to it, like music that is appealing to gamers. That's where we fit into the picture,
right?
Although, if I can quote from Will Wheaton from this weekend, that he observed that it's much more than that, that it's not a gaming convention, and this is his quote, it's a goddamn family reunion. And what he meant by that, and there were more anecdotes behind it, but that it's not just the fact that everybody enjoys gaming, but that everybody is there because they have a lot of other shared experiences that led them to gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the same exact experiences and not the same exact games, but everybody there, us included, you know, were an outsider, a geek, a nerd, an outcast of some sort who found in gaming something that they could, you know, latch onto and to connect to their friends and other people, and then with the internet be part of something much bigger. And that at the at PAX, it's right there in person, face to face. As awesome as it is to be on Twitter and on different message boards, it's that human connection where you really feel like it is really a family of people.
Yep.
And we felt the love. I would say even before we set foot in the place and before most people knew who we were. From the organizers, from what are called the enforcers,
basically the volunteers for the weekend, or they call them the enforcers,
kind of a combined, crowd control assistance for attendees, you know, security, anything that is needed. Sort of the enforcers,
and most
are
especially wearers of utilikilts.
Yes. Actually, that's, on the Twitters is, someone suggested I might look rather sporting in a utilikilt.
I would tend to disagree, but that's just my personal preference. You go ahead and wear one if you wish to.
I have mighty nice legs, and that's on the record. All right, so we'll see about that. And technically, since my wife is part Scottish, I would qualify for wearing of the kilt. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're way off. Well, it's only tangentially to do with PAX.
Right.
So anyway, PAX, you have this wonderful sense of community there. And
did we mention this is in Seattle, by the way?
We hadn't.
Okay.
We hadn't.
It's in Seattle.
We traveled far to
yes,
get there.
Yes, we did.
And my impression, sort of thinking back on the weekend, it almost felt like being at your favorite arcade when you were growing up or a teenager, or maybe it's now. Though you and I grew up in an age where, you know, arcade gaming was really big.
Mm-hmm.
And you could walk in, and even if you hadn't been to a particular arcade, hey, you know, there's Ms. Pac-Man, and there's, you know, Black Knight Pinball, and you're familiar with it, and you feel like you're at home.
Yep.
And that's sort of my initial impression. I don't want to be hogging the floor here. So,
yeah, I'm looking at a lot of flatness on my waveform here.
So I'm going to.
You're being very philosophical. I didn't want to interrupt your flow.
Oh no, I appreciate that, but I'll pass the baton off before I baton back with other stuffs.
I will grab the baton. Well, I'll do a little chronology. We arrived on Thursday afternoon. Most of Thursday was all sort of logistics. We went and grabbed all of our merchandise that we had pre-shipped to Seattle to my friend Doug's house, who was nice enough to store it in his garage. And then we moved that all over to the convention center. And then we had to go back and pick up Jonathan Colton from the airport because we were all traveling, so to speak, together. Finally, on Thursday night, we got to hang out and have some drinks with some cool and semi-famous friend types. Will Wheaton was there, a bunch of people from Harmonix, some folks from the Guild web series and the Legend of Neil web series, MC Frontalot, who was another performer there that weekend.
Yeah.
Nerdcore rap artist and one of the nicest people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. And you could say that about just about anybody we worked with this weekend, by the way.
He was especially nice, I would
say.
Yes,
he was. So that was Thursday. Friday, we showed up, we met up with our vast army of merchandise volunteers who did a bang-up job, I have to say, one more time.
Yes, I am clapping over here.
Applause for the merch volunteers.
They were awesome.
They were a good bunch, especially because, you know, we hadn't worked with any of them before. We'd never been to PAX before, so there were a lot of unknowns, and they rolled with every punch and dealt with everything just fine. And on Friday, to set the scene, there was a whole row of band and artist merchandise tables along the far wall opposite the entrance to the main auditorium, so to speak, the largest theater for the convention. So we were between, on our right was MC Frontalot, who was in it. He's done the PAX concerts, I think, 4 years or so running. On our left with Jonathan Colton, who's been, you know who he is. He's been doing it for 3 years. And on his left was Will Wheaton, who is pretty much the Pope of PAX.
Yeah.
He's, you know, mascot is not the right term because that's sort of
it's diminutive.
Diminutive, exactly. But whatever the non-diminutive version of mascot, as far as like everybody loves him and he's the spirit of the festival, so to speak.
Yeah, you're either a pope or a mascot, yes, but more pope.
Yeah. So we spent a few hours at our merchandise table on Friday watching these massive lines for all three of these artists, and we would have people come up to us, but certainly not with the frequency that the other guys did. We didn't begrudge it or anything, and we were biding our time and hoping and waiting and biting our nails and wondering how it would all turn out.
I would like to thank the people who did come up at those times, many of whom are the podcast listeners, just to say hi. And that really,
It was a surprising percentage of people saying, I listen to the podcast all the time. Love it. So thank you. And then we wandered around the exhibit floor, I believe, for a little bit on Friday, which was really pretty fascinating. You know, they just they have all the displays out of the previews of upcoming games and such. And that was really neat to see. We that night we sat in during on a song with MC Frontalot. Us and Jonathan did, and that was a really neat, fun experience. And I gotta say, the main auditorium, the stage and lighting crew, and you know, everybody working the for the show had their crap together. The sound was outstanding, especially considering it was a great big concrete hall. And we'll get to more on that in a bit, but it was really a wild, interesting rock starry experience. Plus, we got to sing in front of a band for the first time in I don't know how long, like an actual band with drummer and guitar and bass and keyboard and stuff.
That just, it is so much fun to be a jumping monkey, you know, with that kind of sound all around you.
Yep.
You know, and it's at that moment that you look at someone like MC Frontalot and you're like, you lucky bastard, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I love what we're doing, but man, you've got a good thing going too.
Yep. And then Saturday was a lot of the same during the day, at least. You know, sitting at the merch table, people coming up, watching longer lines for everybody else. On Saturday, we got to cut in line. We got to use our awesome celebrity status to cut in line at the Beatles Rock Band display.
Yeah.
And got to play that. We apologize to anyone we cut in line in front of. But hey, that's what you get when you're a famous Hollywood douchebag like us. And I'll let you take it from there, Storm, because now I have been hogging the mic.
Actually, it works out well. This is right about the place where I'd want to talk about Saturday afternoon. Not that I would say there was any low point for us at PAX, but like you were saying, you know, we had a nice trickle of people that we got to talk to, and as we sat at the merch table and got to walk around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, just seeing the lines at other people's tables, thinking, wow, you know, we're just sort of an unknown here. And I literally sat at the table, with a merch volunteer or two, but essentially we just sort of sat there, and I tweeted that, you know, I'd sat under a sign with my own name on it for like an hour and pretty much escaped notice entirely.
Yeah.
And
that was
finally
a lonely sounding Twitter. I remember seeing that when you posted that.
Yeah, I tried not to make it too self-pitying, you know, to at least make it entertaining.
Yep.
But I just decided, you know, what's the point? What's the point? I know that it's going to be awesome later, but you know, I just took the disco nap at that point. And at this point, all of you, of course, have read Dante's Divine Comedy.
Of course.
Of course, where, and so you know, or at least you know the Steve Miller song, so you have to go through hell before you get to heaven.
Right.
Though it wasn't hell, you know, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, it was hell that only like 20 people an hour would come up and hand you money for your product.
I know we only saw 300 people before our main stage show.
Yeah.
No, but just sort of the anticipation of it. That's the scale of the awesome that's coming up for you
folks that weren't
at PAX.
I know.
And the biggest tip off that the night was indeed going to be epic was they had this room set up where it's just this field of chairs set up in this room that holds, they estimate between 6,000 and 8,000. The whole front area is standing, and then there's a whole bunch of chairs extending most of the way back, and then more standing.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Saturday night concert, the room was just packed.
Yeah, like they wouldn't let any more people in, kind of packed.
And we were the second act of three. The first act was how do they describe it? It's not electronica. It's a very specific type of electronic music.
Yeah, I can't remember the description of it. It's a group called Freeze Pop, and they're very popular. Their songs, excuse me, have been very popular with harmonix games. They have had a song in just about every harmonix game that's ever come out.
So very big in the gamer community.
Yes.
And just hearing them and seeing them rock out, the energy was building, and I'm sort of going to cut to the end with a metaphor or a comparison.
Sure.
Before we actually describe the performance.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the feeling, and some folks asked about it on Twitter, was very much like either Bad News Bears or Napoleon Dynamite. The big scene where where Napoleon does his dance and then the crowd just goes nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Except the crowd went nuts from the first word, the first note. And I think we have to thank Will Wheaton in part for that.
Yes, he introduced our performance, but in his official capacity as Secretary, U.S. Secretary of Geek Affairs, with a proclamation honoring Jonathan Colton. You'll have to pardon my voice, by the way. One of the other results this weekend was I caught the Pax Pox. I got some sort of flu-like thing that has turned out not to be swine flu, although several folks at PAX, including one of our merch volunteers, apparently got
swine
flu.
I did not. I had the oogs on Friday, but
yeah,
did not
I think
get
I might have caught
flu.
Your oogs.
Yeah,
because I'm mostly better, and all that's left is just this sort of gargly, semi-sore throat. But anyway, what was I saying? Will presented this proclamation honoring Jonathan Colton. And then we accepted on his behalf the presentation of the presidential D20 of awesomeness or whatever it was. And he really set the stage well for our performance. But I've been trying to process it for the last couple of days. I think we've really only been in front of a crowd of that size twice before.
Yeah.
The one time previously was an outdoor comedy concert where our set was about 12 minutes long.
And the audience was very far away.
What's that?
And the audience was very far away.
Yeah, it was outdoors in a, you know, sort of an outdoor amphitheater kind of thing. The audience was a lot more spread out. And our set was so short that it was difficult to even process. Plus the sound sort of, you know, you could sense the audience.
But it was a big open space.
And it was a big open space, so it didn't have the same kind of vibe, and it was over so quickly. It was you know, not that easy to process. The time before that was with our group Da Vinci's Notebook, and we were in front of a crowd of 6,000 to 7,000 people, and the vast majority of them were booing us, which is a whole other story we should get into.
I think we told it at one point.
We probably did. The short version being we were opening up at a comedy concert for Tracy Morgan at Penn State University, where it had not been announced there were any opening acts at all. And in fact, there were two, and we were the second. So by the time we even stepped on the stage, the entire audience full of drunk frat guys wanted nothing to do with us. And if you've never experienced anything until you've experienced 6,000 people booing you,
it's
and
a singular experience. Yeah.
But this time around was certainly the polar opposite of that. If there was a shape that such that something could be farther away than the two poles of it, this the PAX performance was at that point on the farther away spectrum from this Penn State show. It was just, you know, you sound like an asshole when you say it, but the only way I can describe it is I felt like a genuine, true rock star.
Yep. And the way they have the stage set up, it's, you know, a regular old stage, but then there's a little thrust that goes out that you can walk out onto.
Yeah, this little 10-foot wide space that went out about 30 feet into the audience.
And you're not that high up like people who are standing around this little thrust stage, you know,
the stage
torsos
was about like sternum height.
Yeah, so their entire upper bodies are right there, and we did our song Live out on the thrust.
Yep.
And to me, that was kind of the moment that it felt like, wow, you know, we have so completely connected with this crowd and they've connected with us.
Yep. Well, there was a ridiculous number of people singing along. I mean,
yes.
We usually see that every so often at our shows that we do. And I had sort of noticed it during this show, but it wasn't until we went sort of right out there and we're playing a really quiet song when I realized there was a great many people singing every word of this song, which really threw me a bit. I mean, when I I was selling this to, I can't remember who, when I was singing that song and I first noticed that, a lot of times when we sing that song live, I will change up the melody a bit.
Yeah.
Just for my own interesting, you know, keeping it interesting for me. And right. I thought to myself, ooh, I better not change this up because I don't want to screw up what we've got going here.
Yep.
It was flattering and it was awesome. And it was hard to not get a massive ego from it because everybody, it felt, it, you know, and it was also, it was one of those things where you know, part of me was worried that we'd have this whole group of people in the front cheering for us, and everybody mm-hmm. in the back would be just sort of talking and doing yeah. their thing and waiting for Jonathan to come on or whatever. But from what I could tell, everybody really seemed to be paying attention and having a great time. And it was just, it was a unique experience for us.
If you've,
go ahead.
If you've ever seen us with Jonathan, it was a lot like that, but exponentially huger. And just in that people were anticipating Jonathan to some degree. I think a lot of people were there who had heard about us, maybe talked to people who'd seen us with Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
So there was sort of some expectation, but they really didn't know exactly what they were going to get. And that it's just, you know, our material is certainly geek skewed, and yeah. And we have a number of things that we wrote knowing that we were going to do PAX, which it's nice to have that crowd, kind of crowd that you know you can write to,
yeah.
you know, like
yeah.
have a purpose to write a song about Frogger, say.
Yep. And we were in a very privileged position. Like, I don't want to take it for granted at all, insofar as we have now had this opportunity to sing for a huge, enthusiastic crowd that
yeah.
we don't warrant on our own. I mean, I don't discount our own abilities. Mm-hmm. I don't say, you know, we're terrible, right. we suck, and blah, blah, you know, I don't discount the steps we have taken to get to this point or anything, but we certainly, under our own weight, don't warrant an audience of 6,000 people. And now we've had this
no.
opportunity to perform for more people at one time than, you know, 95% of or more of musicians out there never get the chance to do.
So after our performance was over, we went out to the little merch area, Bandland. And indeed, the crowd was voting for Pedro.
Yeah, they sure were.
And all of a sudden, it was like snap. The horrible, the little lonely tweet that I'd made the day before was just crushed under a giant wave of love.
It withered and died.
And I don't just mean because people were buying things, but people who came up at that moment, and have, you know, we'll get to it later as well, but just saying, you know, I'd never heard you before, and I'm completely on board. I'm a fan now, mm-hmm. and that just warms
it's exactly
a creative
what you,
person's heart.
It's exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah,
you know, being an artist like us.
To connect with folks like that.
Yeah. So that was something. We didn't get home.
Well, then we got to go on with Jonathan.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sorry,
for a bunch of songs. And Molly as well, who we talked about in the past, came up for a song or two. So it was just like this extended geek love fest
mm-hmm.
that just went on well into the night.
Yeah. I mean, the show was scheduled to end about 1:30. Jonathan didn't even finish his third encore, his second real encore, so to speak,
yeah.
until a little after 2:30, and we didn't get home to our hotel until 4 or 4:15.
So that tells you how stoked this crowd was about the show and about seeing
yes,
Jonathan.
This crowd, which had been standing there probably since about 8:30 at night,
and had
for
been
a show that started at 9:30...
And have been participating in this gaming conference all day, you know, before
yeah.
that even happened.
So that was, so that happened.
And then it was Rockstar Town, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, then...
I hope we weren't douchebags. I don't think we were douchebags at all.
I don't think we were douchebags. I hope
I
we
just remember...
I think we're pretty well measured to not go into full-on douchebag territory.
I just remember it was very hard not to have a stupid grin on my face with every person that came up, you know,
mm-hmm.
to say
yeah,
hi
Sunday,
or to
Sunday
take
was
pictures.
Our day to have the big old lines.
Yeah.
Have the Will Wheaton-sized lines. That warmed my heart cockles.
Yeah. And I'm still feeling the glow, I gotta say. And the best thing is, like, We're carrying this goodness and vibe into Wootstock, you know?
Yep.
It's going to be, you know, with Will Wheaton as well. And it'd be interesting for Adam to be at PAX. That just kind of...
Yeah, that would be
thought
interesting.
Just occurred to me.
That would be interesting, because he's not really a gamer, but he's
no.
certainly...
No.
He certainly fits the overall vibe.
Someone needs to write a Mythbusters game. Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like a physics-based game where you get to blow shit up in the name of science.
That would be pretty cool. What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I was talking to Jonathan a couple days after. I guess it was yesterday, and I was saying how, I was just talking to my good friend, Jonathan Colton, but what I was saying, you know, we were decompressing and he was sort of, you know, enjoying our, you know, seeing the newness of our experience at it, you know, that he had felt 3 years ago. Not that he's all jaded now, but you know, it can only be new once. So he's appreciating it, but I was just saying how I'm waiting and dreading for when the drug is going to wear off, because it very much was like being on a really good drug of some sort.
And coming off of a period where we hadn't done a lot of performing, especially.
Yeah.
And by the way, it is, you know, we should note and thank him publicly, probably without some support from Jonathan, we probably wouldn't have ended up at PAX.
Certainly our experience with him led pretty well directly to our being involved in PAX.
Right. Not that he strong-armed Mike.
By association kind of thing.
Right.
And his sponsorship, his mentorship, his...
tutelage. That's the word tutelage. You wanted to say.
Yes, Sensei Colton. But anyway, that was most of the PAX experience. We came away exhausted and elated, and I came away sick. Although I wasn't sick until the next day. We came home on Sunday, and I really didn't have any true sick symptoms until Monday morning.
Yeah.
But otherwise, wow.
Yeah, I have to say that back when we used to do folk festivals with Da Vinci's Notebook, that's the closest experience I can think of where it felt anything like that. Like Falcon Ridge had that same community vibe where you felt like you were part of something really special, and that you were able to tap into it and not only ride the wave but help shape the wave. Yep. You know. And that it feels good to feel that again. And
it does.
Hope very much that we get to participate in the future.
Yeah, it's very much so. So thank you, everyone at PAX, for a grand experience. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
If you weren't at PAX now, we hope you have a good taste of what it's like and definitely encourage you to go if you are at all into gaming of any kind.
If you at all have the opportunity, we certainly highly encourage you to go as an invited musical guest.
Yes.
Because I cannot say enough good about that particular experience.
So thanks to everybody who had us there. Thanks for listening this long, if you're still listening this long.
Yeah, this has been a bit of a long one. We were getting some encouragement on the Twitters for people to tell us to go as long as we cared to about this one.
But we do promise next week we'll likely be back to our usual random shenanigans.
Yeah, we'll tone it down a bit.
And
don't forget, as was mentioned, we have a bunch of shows coming up. You can find the full schedule at paulandstorm.com. But it is worth mentioning the Wootstock shows with us, Will Wheaton and Adam Savage, among others. October 19th and 20th at the Swedish American Hall in San Francisco, and October 21st at Largo in Los Angeles, California. It's really going to be a good, fun, interesting time, we think. So we hope you can go. And if not, then you can send your friends.
And do let us know where you want Wootstock to appear. We'll try to get that eventful thingamajobber widget up pretty soon.
You bet. There we go. So until next week, I'm Paul.
And one last thing, of course, go to paulandstorm.com if you're a noob and find out about how to join the Brigade of Minions.
Yes.
I'm Storm.
And I am still Paul.
And I am Storm. And we have been talking about one thing for much longer, but talking about stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, for me to poop on.
Go do things.
Maybe you'll never die, maybe you're gonna live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. A lot of people in emergency rooms who got anthracosis, consumption, or womb fever. June Cleaver never suffered. She had the penicillin, no expiration when she mothered her. No good little death proof rats, living little ones once were preciouser than that. Living anybody used to be a miracle, yo. You'd get at by the festering hysterical flow. Madnesses and bad diseases of all. Lung, eye, and humor, spirit, and soul. All these afflictions engender aversions. A catch green sickness to match with the virgin scrofula coughs of the cast askance. Ever since black scurvy, I can't wear pants, and I can't but dance with glee that it's not then now. I bet you got the tarantism and how. Maybe you'll never die, maybe you're gonna live forever and never have anything wrong with you. And until you do, you won't worry about it, cause you're probably fine. Maybe you should pretend to forget to remember the bullet that's meant for you, till it's overdue and it runs you through. Galloping dropsy and she swashes lungs, leaves me with a stink of the croup and a dung heap of unbearably fetid excreta from which I get reinfected. Nice to meet you. How about a hug? I swear my Iker is down and I got over the pestilence. It was intense, I astound the historians. I'm pickety, sweaty, just ran out of leeches that I need, such as for bloodletting. It's upsetting. There, I'm upset. Dose of French distemper throbbing up in my head. I don't go into bilious flux just yet, but about to give out a shout to the cholera. Doubt you could follow a charting of the manifold ways I'm ill. Iliac passion, spelters, chill weavers, bottom and a melancholy ache. If my fever doesn't break, rates a glass at the wake. Maybe you'll never die, maybe you're gonna live forever and never have anything wrong with you. And until you do, you won't worry about it, cause you're probably fine. Maybe you should pretend to forget to remember the bullet that's meant for you, till it's overdue and it runs you through. Shouldn't oughta put in the belly. Ate you cake with the colloid jelly. Now you come telling me, checking the mind, that all of these infirmities combine to find a time traveling hypochondria epidemic. One I suffer under, but on the other side of the globe from affluence, the death is still thriving, thus contraptions. Maybe you'll never die, maybe you're gonna live forever and never have anything wrong with you. And until you do, you won't worry about it, cause you're probably fine. Maybe you should pretend to forget to remember the bullet that's meant for you, till it's overdue and it runs you through. Maybe you'll never die, maybe you're gonna live forever and never have anything wrong with you. And until you do, you won't worry about it, cause you're probably fine. Maybe you should pretend to forget to remember the bullet that's meant for you, till it's overdue and it runs you through.